بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. طيب كنا قرأنا الآية ضيم معناها.
أنا ما قرأت الترجمة. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. To continue where the Sheikh left off, we read the ayah in which Muhammad Abdul Wahhab is using as an evidence for the third affair. In the ayah in Surah Al-Mujadala, where Allah Azza wa Jal says, "You will not find any people who believe in Allah on the last day making friendship with those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, even if they are their fathers or their sons or their brothers or their kindred. For such He has written faith in their hearts and strengthened them with the ruh from Himself, and He will admit them into gardens under which rivers flow to dwell therein forever. Allah is pleased with them, and they are with Him. They are the party of Allah. Verily, it is the party of Allah that will be successful."
هذه الآية التي ذكرها الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى دالة على أن المؤمن لا يحب ولا يوالي الكافرين, لا يحب ولا يوالي الكافرين لدينهم. فهذا كما قرره شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب أن من أطاع الله, من أطاع الرسول ووحد الله, لا يجوز له موالاة من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كان أقرب قريب. وكنت قد ذكرت لكم أن الموالاة هنا محبتهم لدينهم وحب نصرتهم على المؤمنين. نعم.
Now, so the Shaykh, he said that this ayah, it proves that which Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, has previously stated, that it is impermissible for the one who loves Allah and His Messenger, and the one who obeys the Messenger of Allah and singles out Allah alone in worship, it is impermissible for him to take allies, those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, meaning to take them, to love them for their deen, and to take allies with them and be yani, affiliate with them. And the Shaykh, he explained again, as he explained before, that the meaning of alliance with them is to love them for their deen and to love that they are victorious over the Muslims, as he has explained previously.
قال رحمه الله تعالى اعلم أرشدك الله لطاعته أن الحنيفية ملة إبراهيم أن تعبد الله وحده, أن تعبد الله وحده مخلصا له الدين, وبذلك أمر الله جميع الناس وخلقهم لها كما قال تعالى وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون.
So the author, he continues by saying, "No, may Allah grant you the ability to obey Him, that al-hanifiyya is the religion of Ibrahim. It is that you worship Allah Azza wa Jalla alone, making the religion sincerely, meaning solely for Him. That, or this is what Allah ordered all of mankind to do, and this is the purpose for which He has created them. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Dhariyat, and we did not create, and I did not create the jinn and mankind except to worship Me."
يعني رحمه الله تعالى أن ملة أبينا إبراهيم الحنيفية سميت حنيفية لأنه مال عن الحق إلى الباطل,
مال عن الباطل إلى الحق,
لأنه مال عن الباطل إلى الحق. نعم, جزاك الله خير.
So the religion of Ibrahim is called Al-Hanifiyya, and the Shaykh, he explains in the Arabic language that Al-Hanifiyya, it means to lean, to bend. And the reason that the religion of Ibrahim is called Al-Hanifiyya is because he bended away from falsehood to the truth. So he bended towards the truth. Naam.
فإذن الحنيفية ملة أبينا إبراهيم, الحنيفية ملة أبينا إبراهيم التي مال فيها عن الباطل إلى الحق. ما هي هذه الحنيفية؟ قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى: أن تعبد الله وحده مخلصا له الدين، يعني أن تعبد الله ولا تشرك به شيئا. هذه هي الحنيفية. ليست الحنيفية أن تعبد الله وتعبد غيره، لا، لا تكون الحنيفية إلا بأمرين: الأمر الأول أن تعبد الله، والأمر الثاني أن لا تشرك بالله شيئا.
Now, so then he explained again that the religion of our father Ibrahim is al-Hanifiyah, which, as he mentioned before, it means that to stray away from falsehood towards the truth, to be towards the truth. And he clarifies, as the author has clarified here, that al-Hanifiyah, what is it? What is the religion of Ibrahim? It is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone, making the religion sincerely for him. It is not that you worship Allah and ascribe partners to him. It is not that you worship Allah and commit shirk. It is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله: وبذلك أي بعبادة الله وحده لا شريك له أمر الله جميع الناس وخلقهم لها أي لعبادته. ما الدليل؟ قال: كما قال تعالى: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. قال ابن عباس: أي إلا ليوحدون، أي يعبدون الله وحده لا شريك له.
Now, and then the author continues by saying that this is what Allah has ordered all of mankind to do. So the Shaykh explained this, meaning worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal alone. And this is the purpose for which He has created them. Again, he explains that the purpose for which He created them is to worship Him Azza wa Jal alone. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah very clearly, that I did not create the jinn and mankind except to worship me. And then the Shaykh, he said that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, to worship me means to single me out.
قال الشيخ: ومعنى يعبدون يوحدون، وأعظم ما أمر الله به التوحيد وهو إفراد الله بالعبادة، وأعظم ما نهى عنه الشرك وهو دعوة غيره معه، والدليل قوله تعالى: واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا.
نعم. So the author continues: the meaning of to worship me is to single me out in worship. And then the author, he says that the greatest thing that Allah has commanded us with is Tawheed, which means singling Allah out in worship. And the greatest thing that Allah has warned against is Shirk, which is to supplicate or to worship to others alongside Allah or besides Allah. And the proof for this is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and worship Allah alone and do not mix anything in worship with Him.
الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى يبين لنا أن أعظم أمر هو التوحيد، أعظم أمر أمرنا به هو التوحيد، لأن الله قال: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون، أي إلا ليوحدون. ما هو التوحيد؟ قال: هو إفراد الله بالعبادة. إفراد الله بالعبادة أي لا تشرك به شيئا. وأعظم ما نهى عنه الشرك. الشرك كما قال لقمان لابنه: يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. ما هو الشرك؟ قال: وهو دعوة غير الله، وهو دعوة غيره. دعوة هنا بمعنى العبادة، دعوة بمعنى عبادة غير الله عز وجل. فأنت لما تذبح أو تنذر أو تدعو أو تخاف أو تذبح، كل هذه الأمور لو صرفتها لغير الله فإنك بها تدعو غير الله عز وجل. فإذا الشرك هو دعوة أي عبادة غير الله عز وجل معه، أي مع الله. والدليل على ما تقدم قوله تعالى: واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا. واعبدوا الله أمر بالتوحيد، ولا تشركوا به شيئا نهي عن الشرك.
So to briefly summarize what the Shaykh has said, that the greatest thing that Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded us with is Tawheed, as He commanded us in the ayah, and I did not create the jinn and mankind except to worship me. This is the reason. So he says that the meaning of this is singling out Allah Azza wa Jal alone in worship, meaning do not ascribe any partners to Allah. And the greatest thing that Allah Azza wa Jal has warned us against is shirk. Such as the statement of Luqman to his son, where he said, "O my son, do not ascribe partners to Allah in worship. Verily shirk is a great form of oppression." And then the Shaykh, he said, so that the evidence for this, the meaning of this shirk is supplicating or dua to other than Allah. But he says that dua here is not specifically supplication. It means all kinds of worship, whether it's sacrificing to Allah or making a vow to Allah or supplicating to Allah or prayer. All of this is included in this word. So any type of worship should not be directed to other than Allah. And again, a proof which includes both of this is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and worship Allah alone. This is a command for Tawheed. And do not ascribe anything in worship with Him, or do not mix anything in worship with Him. This is a prohibition against shirk.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى فإن قيل لك ما الأصول الثلاثة التي يجب على الإنسان معرفتها فقل معرفة العبد ربه ودينه ونبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم.
نعم. So the Shaykh, he continues, or the author, he continues by saying, so if it is said to you, what are the three fundamental principles that mankind is obligated to know, then say that the servant knows his Lord, his religion, and his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. الأصول الثلاثة هي أصول مهمة، لكن ليس المراد أن هي ثلاث أصول فقط. يعني الشيخ الإسلام عنده الأصول الستة، وهناك أيضا العلماء يذكرون أصول أخرى. فما مراد شيخ الإسلام بالأصول الثلاثة؟ مراده رحمه الله تعالى ثلاثة أصول يجب على العبد معرفتها، وهي التي يسأل فيها في قبره: ما دينك؟ من ربك؟ ما دينك؟ من نبيك؟
So the Shaykh, he explains that the author رحمه الله, he is talking about three fundamental principles which are very important. But he says, what is intended here by these three fundamental principles? He says, what is intended is not that there are only three principles in the religion and that's it. He said, no, that is not what is intended. What is intended, rather, is that these are three principles which we must learn, because these are three affairs that every single Muslim will be asked about in the grave. And they are to know about his religion, to know about firstly his Lord and his religion, and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as these are the three questions that he will be asked in the grave: who is your Lord, and what is your religion, and what do you say about this man Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
وهذه الأصول الثلاثة يسأل كل واحد منا في قبره عنها، وجوابه بناء على ما كان يعمله في الدنيا. فمن هنا يجب أن نتعلم هذه الأصول الثلاثة ليحسن كل واحد منا الجواب في قبره.
So he said that every single one of us will be asked these three questions in the grave. Every single one of us will be asked these three questions in the grave. So therefore it is important for us, and the person will answer in the grave based upon what he used to believe and act upon in this life. So according to what you used to do in this life, that is how you will answer in the grave. And he said, so therefore, it is important for every single one of us to learn these three issues now.
قال فإن قيل لك من ربك لو سألك سائل من ربك فقل ربي الله الذي رباني وربى جميع العالمين بنعمته، أي أن الله عز وجل هو الذي أنعم علي وعلى جميع العالمين وهو ربنا وخالقنا.
So if it is said to you, the author continues, so if it is said to you, who is your Lord? And this is the first principle. If it is said to you, who is your Lord? Then say, my Lord is Allah, the one who has nurtured me and nurtured all of creation through his favors. nurtured me and nurtured all of creation, meaning that Allah has blessed us and given us from His bounty upon us and upon the creation.
قال الشيخ وهو معبودي أي ربي هو معبودي ليس لي معبود سواه يعني بما أنه ربي ورب جميع العالمين ورزقنا وأنعم علينا وخلقنا سبحانه وتعالى فهو المستحق لعباده وحده لا شريك له.
And the author continues by saying, and he, meaning Allah, my Lord, is the one who I worship. There is no being to me other than him that I worship. Yani there is no false deity that I worship equal to him. So the Shaykh, he said, because Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who created us, and the one who sustains us, and the one who provides for us, and he is the one who has blessed us, and he is the one who has nurtured us, then we do not worship anything besides him, because he is the only one deserving of worship. So we worship him alone and no one else.
قال والدليل قوله تعالى الحمد لله رب العالمين وكل ما سوى الله عالم وأنا واحد من ذلك العالم.
And then the author continues by saying that the proof for this is the statement of Allah الحمد لله رب العالمين, all praises due to Allah, Lord of the Alameen, the creation, the worlds. And the word عالم refers to everything that is other than Allah, everything apart from Allah. And I am one of that creation. I am part of that creation.
Alhamdulillah, al-thana'u al-kamil wa al-mustahiq lihada al-hamdu wa al-thana'u huwa Allah Azza wa Jal. Alladhi min sifatih aw min sifatih annahu rabbul alameen. Al-alameen ma siwa Allah Azza wa Jal min al-makhluqeen. فالله عز وجل هو رب كل هو رب كل المخلوقين وأنا وأنت وهو وهي من العالمين فكلنا مخلوقون والله خالقنا فهو المستحق للعبادة.
نعم. So he says that alhamd, all praise, it means all perfect praise, all the best praise and perfect praise is due to Allah Azza wa Jal, the Lord of the Alameen of the worlds. And the word Alam, again he explains, refers to everything that is not Allah. Everything from the creation. Everything that is not Allah Azza wa Jal. So I and you and he and she and everyone and all of this creation, all of us are Alameen. All of us are from the creation. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he is not from this creation. So he is the one who deserves to be worshipped.
قال الشيخ فإن قيل لك بما عرفت ربك قال فقل بآياته ومخلوقاته ومن آياته الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر ومن مخلوقاته السماوات السبع والأراضون السبع ومن فيهن وما بينهما والدليل قوله تعالى ومن آياته الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا للقمر واسجدوا لله الذي خلقهن إن كنتم إياه تعبدون وقوله تعالى إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش يغشي الليل النهار يطلبه حثيثا والشمس والقمر والنجوم مسخرات بأمره ألا له الخلق والأمر تبارك الله رب العالمين والدليل قوله تعالى نعم.
So the author continues by saying, if it is said to you, how did you come to know of your Lord? Then say, by way of his signs and his creation. And among his signs are the night and the day, and the sun and the moon. And among his signs, and among his creations are the seven heavens and the seven earths, as well as whoever and whatever lies in between them or on them. And the proof is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and from his signs are the night and the day, and the sun and the moon. Do not prostrate yourself to the sun or the moon, but rather prostrate to Allah who created them, if it is he whom you truly worship. And also from the evidence is his statement, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Verily your Lord is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then rose over the throne. He brings the night as a cover over the day, which it follows rapidly. And he made the sun, the moon, and the stars subjected to his command. Surely to him belongs the creation and the command. Blessed is Allah, Lord of the worlds.
قد يأتيك سائل يسألك كيف عرفت الله كيف عرفت ربك من باب التعلم، وقد يأتيك سائل يسألك من باب أن يشككك في الله عز وجل، فلا بد أن تكون متحصنا بالعلم بالدليل الشرعي. نعم.
He said that a person may come to you and ask you, how did you come to know of your Lord? How did you come to know about Allah? He said, a person may come asking sincerely because he wants to know. He doesn't know, so he wants to know. He's asking you. Or a person may come to cause doubt in you, to give you doubts. He said, in either case, you need to have firm knowledge. You need to have strong, firm knowledge so that you know.
يكون جوابك حينها أنك عرفت الله عز وجل بآياته ومخلوقاته العظيمة، آياته بمعنى علاماته، فالشمس والقمر والليل والنهار وهذه الأمور كلها دالة على أن هناك من خلقها ولم توجد عبثا. وبهذا استدل إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام على أن لهذا الكون خالقا، وأن هذه المخلوقات خالقها أعظم منها.
نعم. So the response to this question, if it is said, how do you come to know of your Lord? The response to this is to say, by way of his signs and his creation. His signs, great signs, are things which point to, things that lead to understanding something. And his creation from the great creations. And he said, with this, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he used the same evidence to establish that Allah azza wa jal is greater than his creation.
الشيخ هنا قال ومن آياته، قال فقل بآياته، لأن الآية قالت ومن آياته الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر، ثم قال ومخلوقاته، لأن الآية التي تليها قالت إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض، فكلها كما جاءت في النصوص وهي واضحة. فإذا كانت هذه المخلوقات عظيمة جدا فالله أعظم منها سبحانه وتعالى، الذي خلقها وأوجدها هو أعظم منها، وهو المستحق للعبادة سبحانه وتعالى.
So the author, he says, as the Shaykh explains, that the author says, by way of his signs, and this is due to the ayah, and from his signs are the night and the day till the end. And also the author, he says, and his creations, and this is due to the ayah after it, in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says that verily your Lord is the one who created the heavens and the earth till the end of the ayah. And he said that these signs, these ayat, are clear indications, because if things like the night and the day and the heavens and the earth, which are great, massive creations and amazing creations, if you look at them, you understand that if these things are great, then the one who created them is even greater. The one who created them is even greater.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى والرب هو المعبود، لأن الله عز وجل قال في الآية السابقة إن ربكم الله، ثم قال أيضا تبارك الله رب العالمين. وقال لك أولا الشيخ فإن قيل بما عرفت ربك فقل عرفته بآياته ومخلوقاته، ثم قال هنا والرب هو المعبود. إذا أقررت واعترفت يا عبد الله أن الرب هو الله فالله هو المعبود، لأن الرب هو المعبود.
Now, and then the author continues by saying that the Lord, the Rabb, means the one who is worshipped. And he proves this with the previous ayat in which Allah said that verily your Lord is Allah. And also blessed is Allah, Lord of the worlds. And also that the Shaykh, he mentioned previously that if you are asked, how do you know your Lord? You say by his ayat and his creations. So he says that, O servants of Allah, O Abdullah, when you come to recognize that Allah Azza wa Jal, he is the one who created, when you come to recognize that Allah is the Lord, then this means that you must worship him. Because when you recognize that he is the Lord, then he is the one who deserves to be worshipped.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى والدليل قوله تعالى يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون. قال ابن كثير رحمه الله تعالى الخالق لهذه الأشياء هو المستحق للعبادة.
So the author, he continues by saying that the proof for what he says that the Rabb is the one to be created, the Rabb is the one to be worshipped, the proof for this is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Baqarah that, O mankind, worship your Lord who created you and those before you so that you may be dutiful to him. He is the one who made the earth a resting place for you and the sky as a canopy and sent down water from the sky and brought forth therewith fruits as a provision for you. So do not set up rivals with Allah in worshipping knowingly. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him, he said, the creator of all of these things is the one who truly deserves to be worshipped.
طيب الشيخ هنا سبق معنا أنه قال نحن عرفنا الله بآياته ومخلوقاته وهذه الآية الله عز وجل يقول يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم. من هو ربنا؟ قال الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. هذا واحد. ثم قال الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم. فالله عز وجل عرفنا بنفسه أنه خالق هذه الأمور المستحق للعبادة إذ يقول فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا. الله الذي خلقنا وخلق الذين من قبلنا وخلق هذه الآيات الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء لا نجعل له أندادا. وأنتم تعلمون أي تعلمون أن الرب هو المستحق لهذه العبادة.
So the Shaykh, he said that we have previously said that we know that Allah is the Lord because of his ayat and because of his creations. And here in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, O people, worship me, O mankind, to worship your Lord. He says, so here Allah Azza wa Jal, he is commanding us to worship our Lord, and he explains, الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, the one who created you, and the one and those before you, لَعَلُّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may be dutiful to him. So he says, so this is the first thing, is that Allah Azza wa Jal, he is telling us about himself. He is the one who created us, and he is the one who created those before us. This is one. And he is the one who made the earth as a resting place for us, and he made the sky as a canopy, and he sent down water from the sky, and brought forth fruits as provision for us. This is two. And also that, so based on these things, that Allah has done this for us, Allah has explained to us who he is. So based on this, we should not ascribe any partners in worship to him. We should not make any rivals in worship. We should not commit shirk with Allah Azza wa Jal. Knowing what? Knowing that he is the one who deserves to be worshipped. Because he is the one who did all of this for us.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى وأنواع العبادة لما ذكر أن الله عز وجل مستحق للعبادة بيّن أنواع العبادة التي أمر الله بها فقال وأنواع العبادة التي أمر الله بها مثل الإسلام والإيمان والإحسان فإنها كلها لله عز وجل هو المستحق لهذه العبادة. وسيأتي تفاصيل الإسلام والإيمان والإحسان في بيان الأصل الثاني نعم.
And then the author continues by saying that the types of worship that Allah has commanded us with, such as Islam and Iman and Ihsan. And the Shaykh, he said that these are all types of worship, and these are all things that are to be sincerely for Allah. And the details of these things and what they include will come in what is to follow.
ثم قال ومنه الدعاء أي مما أمر الله عز وجل به الدعاء والخوف والرجاء والتوكل والرغبة والرهبة والخشوع والخشية والإنابة والاستعانة والاستعاذة والاستغاثة والذبح والنذر وغير ذلك من العبادة التي أمر الله بها كلها لله تعالى. فكل أنواع العبادة لا تصرف إلا لله عز وجل. نعم.
And then the author, he mentioned various types of worship also. So he mentioned from these types of worship supplication, dua, fear, hope, reliance, and relying upon Allah, longing, dreading, submissiveness, awe, repentance, seeking assistance, seeking refuge, seeking help, offering sacrifices, making oaths or vows, and other types. All of these, he says, and all of the other types of worship that Allah has commanded. So all of these are types of worship, and all of these are types of worship that Allah has commanded. Now,
الدعاء دليله قوله تعالى قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم الدعاء هو العبادة وأكثر شرك المشركين في دعاء غير الله عز وجل ولذلك الدعاء عبادة عظيمة لا تصرف إلا لله عز وجل.
He said regarding dua, the Shaykh explained that there's a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ has explained that dua, supplication, is worship. It is the worship, meaning that it is one of the most important parts of worship. And he said that dua is the main thing in which the mushrikun, the pagans and the polytheists, they fell into. They worshipped other than Allah in dua, in supplication.
والخوف المراد به هنا خوف العبادة أن يخاف في أن يخاف من شيخه أو ممن يعبده من دون الله. خوف العبادة قال الشيخ هنا الشيخ محمد أمان الجامي قال الخوف نوعان: خوف طبيعي مثل الخوف من الأسد أو الخوف من العدو، فهذا خوف طبيعي لا يترتب عليه شيء. وخوف العبادة، خوف العبادة هو الخوف السري، يعني يخاف أن يطلع الشيخ على ما في سره وضميره، فهذا لا يعلمه إلا الله عز وجل، فهذا لا يكون إلا من الله، لا يكون إلا لله عز وجل. نعم.
Now and then the Shaykh, he explained the meaning of fear, and that is fear that is worship, the type of fear which enters into worship. And he quoted from Shaykh Muhammad Aman al-Jami, who in explaining this said that fear is two types. Fear can be natural fear, such as a person fearing from a lion or fearing from a scorpion or something which will harm him. That is natural fear. And fear which is worship. And the Shaykh, he explained that this is being afraid, for example, that someone such as some Shaykh or someone else will know the secrets of what is in your heart, or that he's looking at you through the unseen. He said this is only for Allah. This can only be for Allah.
ثم قوله والاستعانة والاستعاذة هذه التي لا يقدر عليها إلا الله، فطلبها من غير الله لا يجوز. أما الاستعانة والاستعاذة فيما يقدر عليه العبد بإذن الله فلا مانع منه.
الاستغاثة لله وحده.
الآن استعاذة والاستعانة استغاثة تأتي.
لا لكن قلت الاستعاذة لا يمكن الله
الاستعانة والاستغاثة والاستعاذة طيب فيما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله هذا ما تجوز.
Now, so then the Shaykh, he explained about seeking assistance, isti'ana, and isti'adha, seeking refuge, and istighatha, seeking help. So in general, he said that what is able from the creation, then this is allowed. But what is only for Allah, then this is only to be for Allah.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى قال الشيخ والدليل قوله تعالى وأن المساجد لله فلا تدعوا مع الله أحدا يعني يستدل بهذه الآية على أن جميع أنواع العبادات لا تصرف إلا لله لذلك قال فمن صرف منها شيئا لغير الله فهو مشرك كافر أي صرف أي عمل أي نوع من أنواع العبادة لغير الله فهو مشرك لأنه أشرك مع الله غيره وهو كافر لأنه غير مسلم نعم.
And then the author he continues by citing the proof, which is the ayah, and the masajid belong to Allah, so do not call upon anyone along with Allah. So the Shaykh he said that this proof is for all forms of worship, as he mentioned before about du'a being general, and the author he continues, so he says, so whoever directs any part of these acts of worship to other than Allah, then he is a polytheist, mushrik, disbeliever, kafir. He said he's a polytheist, why? Because he has directed some form of worship to other than Allah, which is shirk. And he is a disbeliever because by doing this, he is not Muslim.
وهنا ننبه سريعا على أن قول شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله فهو مشرك كافر مراده بقوله مشرك كافر أي عند قيام الحجة وانتفاء الموانع لأن شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى جاء عنه في مجموع من كلامه ما يدل على أنه يعذر بالجهل على أنه يعذر بالجهل فنفهم كلامه هنا فمن صرف منها شيئا لغير الله فهو مشرك كافر إذا كان عالما وانتفت عنه الموانع نعم.
And then the Shaykh he clarifies that the statement of Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah where he says then he's a polytheist disbeliever he's a mushrik kafir that this is after the evidence has been established upon him. This is after the evidence has been established upon a person and after any preventative issues have been removed. The reason is because Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab in many other works of his, he clearly indicates that he sees that an issue called Uthur Bil-Jahl, which means that a person who is ignorant is excused. So the Shaykh he says, so we understand this speech in light of that speech. Which is that a person who falls into this is mushrik, he's a polytheist, if the evidence has been established upon him.
قال رحمه الله والدليل قوله تعالى أي في الدعاء ومن يدعو مع الله إلها آخر لا برهان له به فإنما حسابه عند ربه إنه لا يفلح الكافرون فدلت هذه الآية على أن الدعاء لله عز وجل وأن دعاء غير الله شرك وكفر.
And then the author, he continues by citing the proof from the ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and whoever calls upon another god besides Allah, of which he has no proof, his reckoning is only with his Lord, surely the disbelievers will not be successful. He says, so this means that whoever worships other than Allah has fallen into polytheism.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى وفي الحديث الدعاء مخ العبادة هذا الحديث ضعيف وصح بلفظ الدعاء هو العبادة يعني هو أعظمها وأهمها وكما سبق معنا أن أهل العلم بيّنوا أن أكثر شرك المشركين في العبادة في الدعاء نعم.
Now, and then the Shaykh, he continued by, the author continued by citing the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said that supplication is the core of worship. He said that this wording is weak. The Shaykh explained that this wording is weak. However, there is another narration which is authentic, in which the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said that supplication is worship. Supplication is worship. And what he means is that it is from the most important and from the greatest forms of worship. And he said again, as he said previously, that many of the ulama, many of the scholars, they cite or make note that the mushrikun, the disbelievers and the polytheists, most of their form of shirk, most of the shirk is in this aspect, in dua, in supplication.
Qala, والدليل قوله تعالى وقال ربكم ادعوني استجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخلين. هذا دليل على العبادة. ولكن الشيخ أراد هنا أن يقول إن الدعاء عبادة، لأن الله قال ادعوني ثم قال إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي أي عن دعائي، فسمى الدعاء عبادة.
Now, and then the Shaykh, the author, he continues by saying that the proof for this, meaning supplication, is Allah saying, and your Lord says, supplicate to me, I will respond to you. Verily those who are too proud to worship me will enter the hellfire in disgrace. So our Shaykh, he explains here that what is intended, what the Shaykh, what the author, Muhammad Abdul Wahab, what he's doing, he is proving that dua is worship. This is one issue, that dua is in fact worship. And the way that this is proved is in the ayah that Allah says, supplicate to me. And then He calls this worship by saying, those who are too proud to worship me. Now.
ثم قال ودليل الخوف أي دليل صرف عبادة الخوف لله قوله تعالى فلا تخافوهم وخافوني إن كنتم مؤمنين. فأمر الله عز وجل بالخوف منه، وهذا الخوف هو كما سبق معنا خوف العبادة وهو خوف السر. نعم.
And then the author continues by saying the proof for fear or khawf is worshipping, is the saying of Allah, so do not fear them but fear me if you are truly believers. And he said that he has, as he has explained before, that what is meant by khawf, by fear in this case, is the fear which is worship, fear of, or fear what is secret. Now.
قال ودليل الرجاء قوله تعالى فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. فالرجاء عبادة تصرف لله عز وجل.
Now. So the author continues by saying the proof for hope, raja or hope, is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. So whoever hopes to meet his Lord, then let him perform righteous deeds and not mix anyone into the worship of his Lord. So here he calls hope or raja worship, ibadah. So this is proof that hope is a form of worship. Now.
قال ودليل التوكل قوله تعالى وعلى الله فتوكلوا إن كنتم مؤمنين. وقوله ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه. هذان الدليلان واضحان في أن المؤمن يتوكل على الله عز وجل، فالمؤمن لا يتوكل على غير الله عز وجل، وإنما يتخذ الناس أسبابا ويعتمد على الله عز وجل، يعلق قلبه بالله لا يعلق قلبه بالسبب. وإنما يتخذ الناس أسبابا من جهة أن الله عز وجل جعلهم سببا لحصول الأمر، أما أن يعلق قلبه بالناس فيتوكل عليهم ويعتمد عليهم فهذا شرك.
نعم. And then the author continues by saying that the proof for tawakkul or reliance is the statement of Allah, and on Allah, and upon Allah, put your reliance if you are truly believers. And also the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and whoever relies upon Allah, then He is sufficient for him. So the Shaykh, he explained by saying that these two ayat, these two evidences are clear in the fact that tawakkul or reliance upon Allah is a form of worship, and that it is to be done to Allah alone. And he said that a person, he depends on Allah. Person, he relies upon Allah by depending on Allah. And as for the people, then he takes them only as means to what Allah has allowed. But he does not depend on the people and he does not rely on the people. But his heart remains attached to Allah. And he only uses the people as a means to reach what Allah has decreed for him. So he relies and depends on Allah. Now,
قال الشيخ رحمه الله ودليل الرغبة والرهبة والخشوع قوله تعالى إنهم أي الأنبياء والصالحون كانوا يسارعون في الخيرات ويدعوننا أي يدعون الله عز وجل رغبا أي رغبة ورهبا رغبا أي رغبة فيما عند الله ورهبا أي رهبة وخوفا من الله وكانوا لنا خاشعين قوله وكانوا لنا أي لله عز وجل وحده لا شريك له خاشعين أي يخشوا ويخافونه سبحانه وتعالى ويرغبون فيما عنده.
Now then the author he continues by saying that the proof for longing or raghbah and dreading or rahbah and submissiveness or khushu' is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, verily they used to rush to do good deeds and they would call upon us longing and dreading, and they used to be humble, they used to humble themselves submissively before Allah, before us. So the Shaykh he explains here that longing, meaning longing for Him, longing for His reward, the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal, and dreading, yani dreading Allah, dreading His punishment, and they used to humble themselves for us, meaning for us alone, no one else. So all of these things show that these are acts of worship. Now,
قال رحمه الله ودليل الخشية قوله تعالى فلا تخشوهم واخشوني أي المؤمن يخشى الله عز وجل ولا يخشى الناس. ثم قال ودليل الإنابة قوله تعالى وأنيبوا إلى ربكم وأسلموا له. فهذا دليل على أن الإنابة و الرجوع إلى الله عز وجل لا يكون إلا لله عز وجل. قال ودليل الاستعانة قوله تعالى إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. وفي الحديث إذا استعنت فاستعن بالله أي أننا نستعين بالله وحده لا شريك له ولا نستعين بغيره. نعم.
And then the author he continues by saying that the proof for awe, for khashya, is the statement of Allah, So do not be in awe of them, but be in awe of me. Yani to have awe of Allah Azza wa Jal alone. And the proof for repentance or inaba, which is repentance and returning back to Allah, is the statement of Allah, and turn to your Lord in repentance and submit to Him. Meaning that a person returns and repents back to Allah. And the proof for seeking assistance with Allah is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship and you alone do we seek assistance.
وَالْإِسْتِعَانَ كَمَا مَرْ مَعَنَا فِي مَا لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ.
And the Shaykh, he said, as he has explained before, that this type of seeking assistance is in relation to what is only what Allah is able to do.
وأما الاستعانة بالمخلوق فيما يقدر عليه المخلوق الحاضر القادر فلا مانع من ذلك.
And as for seeking assistance from the creation in what they are able to do, those who are present and those who are capable, then there is no harm in this.
قال ودليل الاستعاذة قوله تعالى قل أعوذ برب الفلق وقوله قل أعوذ برب الناس. ودليل الاستغاثة قوله إذ تستغيثون ربكم فاستجاب لكم. كذلك الاستعاذة والاستغاثة فيما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله هذا شرك. وأما الاستعاذة والاستغاثة فيما يقدر عليه المخلوق الحاضر فلا مانع منه كما سبق.
نعم. And to continue from previously, there's also a hadith in which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when you seek for assistance, then seek assistance in Allah. And then the author, he continues by saying the proof for seeking refuge, isti'adha, is the statements of Allah. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, say, I seek refuge in the Lord of the daybreak. And قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, say, I seek refuge in the Lord of mankind. And also the proof for istighatha, which is asking help of Allah, is the ayah in Surah Al-Anfal where Allah says, and remember when you sought help from your Lord and He responded to you. So the Shaykh, he clarified again that as we mentioned previously, isti'adha, seeking refuge, and istighatha, and that which only Allah can do, this is worship for Allah. And as for what the creation are able to do, then this is allowed.
قال ودليل النذر قوله تعالى ودليل النذر قوله تعالى يوفون بالنذر ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا. فالنذر عبادة تكون لله عز وجل, لا يصح صرفها لغير الله عز وجل. والنذر كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يأتي بخير, وإنما شيء يخرج الله به من يد البخيل. نعم.
شيخ, النذر عندك مقدم على الذبح؟
نعم.
النذر عندك مقدم على الذبح؟ قل إن الصلاة ونسكي ومحياي.
أنا ما قرأت الذبح صح. طيب, قال الشيخ ودليل الذبح قوله تعالى قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين. ومن السنة لعن الله من ذبح لغير الله. قل إن صلاتي ونسكي, نسكي أي ذبحي, فهذا دليل على أن الذبح يكون لله, فلا يجوز أن يذبح العبد لغير الله ويصرف هذه العبادة لغير الله. ثم قال ودليل النذر كما سبق. نعم.
جزاك الله خير. The proof, the author continues that the proof for ذبح or sacrifice is the statements of Allah Azza wa Jal, say verily my prayer, my sacrifice, my sacrificial offerings, my living, my dying are for Allah, Lord of the worlds, He has no partners, and I have been commanded, and with this I have been commanded, and I am the first of the Muslims. So he said, explaining this, that the word nusuk, or sacrificial offerings, is dhabh, it's the same thing as sacrifice. And also from the sunnah, may Allah curse the one who offers a sacrifice to other than Allah. So this shows that it's not allowed. And then he continued he previously mentioned about nadhar, which is to make an oath or a vow to Allah, that Allah Azza wa Jal says that there are those who used to fulfill their vows and fear a day whose evil will be widespread. And the Shaykh, he explained that nadhar, or making a vow, is something which is not preferred, as it comes that in some evidence that nadhar is something which is taken from the one who is bakhil, the one who is stingy, and it does not bring any good.
أنبه هنا على أن الذبح لغير الله أي أن يكون مقصوده بالذبح لغير الله التقرب, كمن يذبح للشيخ إذا سافر أو حضر, أو يذبح للجان. أما الذبيحة التي يذبحها الإنسان لأولاده ولبيته لأكلها, فهذا ليس من باب الذبح لغير الله, وإنما يسمي الله عليه, يسمي أو يذكر اسم الله عليها ثم يأكلها. فينبغي أن نفرق بين الذبح لغير الله بمعنى التقرب, وبين الذبح للضيف أو للأهل والأولاد, فهذا حلال. أما الأول التقرب شرك لغير الله.
Now, and then the Shaykh, he explained that there is a point that we have to draw attention to, which is that there is a difference between sacrificing for other than Allah, as some people they sacrifice to the Shaykh or they sacrifice to whatever for other than Allah in means of worshipping, taqarrub, to get near to that thing. And there's a difference between sacrificing an animal to eat for whether it's for your children, for your family, or for your guests. He said this is a difference, because that is a form of worship when someone sacrifices for the sake of something. And when someone sacrifices merely to eat, these are two different things. So when someone sacrifices to eat, they say Bismillah, or they mention the name of Allah, and they sacrifice as it is legislated, and this is permissible. And as for the other thing, which is sacrificing to get near to a jinn, or to get near to a sheikh or someone, then this is shirk. No.
طيب بهذا نكون يعني بهذا نكون قد انتهينا من الأصل الأول، ثم الآن ندخل الأصل الثاني. ندخل الآن، بقي خمس دقائق على الأذان، ما رأيكم؟
He said that we have finished the first principle, and what is left now for us is to start the second principle, but there's only 5 minutes left until the Adhan. So would you like to begin now, or shall we leave it? أن يترك الآن
بعد العشاء في ولا خلاص هذا.
Do you guys want after?
شوفهم لا يكونوا متعبين أو كذا.
The Sheikh, look guys, the Sheikh, Jazakallah khair, he's ready to do whatever you guys are able to do. If you are tired, we'll stop. If you want to continue after Isha, we can continue. It's up to you. So you guys decide amongst yourselves.
لا يكونوا متعبون يعني.
نعم. And he said that if you're tired, يعني there's no problem.
على راحتهم أنا ما عندي مشكلة. لكنهم.
Right, he said for him there's no problem, but it's up to you. If you're tired, there's no problem, don't feel ashamed. If you're tired, we'll stop. You know, take care of everybody, look at each other and see. Decide, inshallah. Now or after Isha? بعد
العشاء. طيب في درس ولا خلاص؟
لا يكون أسئلة.
أسئلة؟
طيب. إن شاء الله. So after Isha, inshallah, we'll stop the class for now. Continue tomorrow, and after Isha, we'll just do questions and answers. If there's anything related, inshallah, we'll discuss. جزاكم الله خير. So if you guys can please, if you have any questions to write down, you can write them down, and be better, inshallah.